The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now let's anchor that deep. I am a second coming saint. Why don't you repeat that after me? I am a second coming saint. Now you want to know what that means, right?
That is Pastor Michael Oxentenko, and this is Reaching Your Heart. Here at Reaching Your Heart, we believe that God answers prayer. If you need prayer, call us today at 888-244-HOPE. That's 888-244-4673. As a reminder, you can tune in to the live worship service held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You are most welcome to be our guest either online or in person. We will have more details on that as we continue with today's broadcast. Today's message with Pastor Michael Oxentenko is entitled Second Coming Saints, and we hope that you enjoy it. Remember, you can find it online at reachingyourheart.com if you miss any portion of today's message. Here now is our pastor teacher, Michael Oxentenko, with Second Coming Saints.
If we are true believers, we are kingdom builders. And kingdom builders are all about the king and his kingdom, not the little empires we might build here for ourselves and our own glory. Vital character quality number four, Second Coming Saints are eager beavers for service. Anybody an eager beaver here? Been an eager beaver in your life? Our pathfinder kind of thing? I was an eager beaver, I think, way back when I was brought to an Adventist church for a little bit. Second coming saints are eager beavers for service. Matthew 20, verse 25. But Christ Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? What did he come? But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." In the book of Isaiah, Jesus is called the servant who has no form or comeliness that we should desire him except for his humble and beautiful character that led him to be a lamb for the slaughter. He bore our sins in his body on the cross in the inside where his true beauty was found. He took our diseases upon him in Gethsemane on the inside. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter to die for us so we would never have to die in a place called hell on the inside or at the end of the millennium. Christ came to planet Earth to serve the lost and the broken, to save the person who can't see a way out of their trouble and their mess. Christ took up the basin and the towel, and he served us by pouring out the water and thus pouring out his life for us as he washed the disciples' feet, and then he died for them, and blood and water came out of his side to wash us all. From the moment Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, friend, to the moment he died on the cross, every breath he breathed, every act of kindness he expressed, every healing virtue he poured forth, every long journey he embarked on to share the saving truth with others was the outworking of a humble heart of love, the heart of God Almighty in the person of the God-man, Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus to save the lowest, most depressed, and most stricken sinner at the bottom of the universal totem pole, because God loves the least in Jesus the most. Christ will be coming for second coming saints who live to serve in the church and the world in the same way Jesus did. A deacon in Greek means a servant. Anybody here have been a deacon? Okay, the word deacon means servant. Deacons were ordained as the administrators in the early church. Pastors didn't have to do all that. Their job was to share the word and be busy doing it. Deacons worked by the power of the Holy Spirit to free up the apostles so they could teach and preach and not get bogged down in the matters of general service necessary for the church. No church can thrive without deacon servants who live for others, get things done with a good attitude in the church for the glory of God. Vital character quality number five, second coming saints share and care. You know, I don't want to go to a church that isn't a caring church. Forget it. I want to be in a church always that cares about people first and foremost. I, me, and my were Lucifer's favorite three words. I, me, and my. I, me, and my is why he left heaven to corrupt earth. I, me, and my is why he set up his kingdom on earth, because he would have none of the kingdom of humility in heaven. Christ came to share and to care. He gave up his royal robes. He divested himself of the power of eternal God to become a weak human being because he was in the serving business. Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as men who have to give an account. Let them do this joyfully. Now, what he's saying here affects me personally. He's saying, don't give your preacher a hard time. Isn't it what he's saying? Okay. Isn't that what he's saying? Well, you're having a hard time. This is Bible truth I'm submitting to you. He's saying, don't do that. If you know your preacher's working his head off, don't make it harder by being a critic for the pastor. Get involved and make a difference. That's what he's saying. With a good attitude. Now look what he says, let them do this joyfully. Boy, I want to work as a pastor and like it. Praising God and not sadly. Who wants a minister bowing his head all the time? For that would be of no advantage to you. You see, it's in your best interest to do your role to empower the pastorate to be joyful and optimistic for the sake of the body of Christ. So critics don't help. Help helps. And help can sometimes point out errors, but critical attitudes never help. And I've had to pray in my own self because I have had issues with this at life. There are times when I face difficulties and I move toward criticism. I should move instead toward making a difference and mobilizing my energy for a positive outcome. John the Baptist told this to men and women who came to him to be baptized. Luke 3:10-11. And the multitudes asked him, what then shall we do? And here's his answer. He answered them, he who has two coats, let him share with him who has none, and he who has food, let him do likewise. In Matthew 25, Jesus gave a parable of his coming and the great judgment, and what the judgment is really all about for believers and unbelievers who have means to help others. Matthew 25:31, I could sit here and explain this. I'd rather read it to you so you can hear it. Christ said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will then sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then he goes on to say, and he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Then the king, that's Jesus, will say to those at his right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, verse 37 introduces the element of surprise into the judgment day. The righteous are surprised. In their humility, they're not aware of what they have done to get them into heaven. They've not been focusing on that. Now, verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? When did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee or you sick or in prison and visit thee? These the old English word for you. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. Those are persecuted saints. He's talking about people, but people who represent him in the church, his brethren. You did it to me. You did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil's angels. Why? Look at verse 42. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You did not welcome me. Naked. You did not clothe me. Sick and in prison. You did not visit me. And then they will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? That's how narcissists think. Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, Those are the sheep on the right. You did it not to me. The key word here in Jesus' parable is least. God sends the least into our lives, and what we do with the least determines the most of what will happen to us in the judgment day. People who have no room for the least in the church, people have no room for the least in their lives, have no room for Jesus, because Christ comes to us in the person of the least. Jesus comes to us as the person you would naturally think would have no right to eternity. He comes into the doors of the church through that person. Verse 46, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Vital character quality number 6, second coming saints are a pure people. Now, 1 John 1:9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just to. So when you confess your sins, what does God do? Come on. He forgives you. Don't you go telling yourself he hasn't. He forgives you. You accept it. And it says, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He changes you. Now look at 1 John 3:1 and 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's a gift. That we should be called the sons of God. We didn't get into the faith because we were good. We got into the faith because God gave us right standing in Jesus. Therefore the world knoweth us not. He says, because you're a Christian, you don't work out well in the world kingdom order. Because it knew him not. The way they treat him is the way they treat you. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That means we will be changed people. He will finish the work he started in us. For we shall see him as he is. We won't run from him at the second coming. And every man that hath faith and hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, we're in the fixing up our lives business because Jesus is our Savior. We're not in the business of saying, well, it doesn't matter. It does. Paul admonishes the liberal church of Corinth. God loves the liberal church and God loves the conservative church. Am I right? And he loves the churches in the middle too. So don't talk bad about liberals and don't talk bad about conservatives. Jesus died for both groups. Am I right? But speaking to the liberal church of Corinth, he told them to not forget the need for purity and holiness in their liberality, that they should not forget Christian standards. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from, and what does he say? From every defilement of body and spirit, that means attitude, and make holiness how? Perfect in the fear of God. Now the word holiness means to be set apart. What he's saying is you need to make sure, absolutely sure, you do not participate in evil. You set yourself apart from it. In this sense, holiness means being wholly his because you've been set apart from evil to be set apart for Christ. We are to shun any and everything in life that defiles us, that would separate us from God and Jesus. Is that easy? It isn't. I mean, don't we have stuff coming at us all the time in our culture it's hard to deal with? Huh? Yeah, we do. What does it mean, really? And I'm going to be specific here. You're going to say, ouch, owie, a little bit here, maybe, but I'm going to say it. That means getting rid of most modern television viewing, doesn't it? Come on. If we're honest, doesn't that mean saying no to most of that stuff? Okay. It means saying no to the theater, by and large, and maybe altogether because of the industry, and I say altogether. And things like it on Blu-ray machines and DVD systems, correct? I mean, rated R, PG-13, bad language, nudity. Is that something Christians should be watching? Come on. You should say a big no, okay? It means burning those love novels in your stove so you won't burn with passion to be unfaithful to your spouse and so you won't burn at the end or in the fires of hell at the end. Throw them away. Get rid of that stuff. It means spending positive time in the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, reading books like The Desire of Ages. How many of you have read The Desire of Ages or parts of it? Oh, we've got a number of you here. My dad, the very last thing he ever heard was the last chapter of that book. That book is special. It's something given to us to help us know Jesus more deeply. Christ Object Lessons. Anybody here dabble in that? The Great Controversy. Prophecy in a single book. Awesome. Steps to Christ. Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings. People who are too smart for those books are too smart to grow in Christ. That is good stuff for the Christian church. It means also, as we say, to be separate. It means to say no to any form of lust and evil desire that corrupts the heart and sullies the character, right? When we're tempted to go a certain road, it's wrong. Shouldn't we say, Lord, help me to resist evil in this area, right? It's natural to do the wrong thing. It's supernatural to do the right thing. How many of you have dreams of where you want to be 10 years from now or something like that, 5 years from now? There's nothing wrong with that. We need to wrap those dreams around God's word so that we live out God's purpose in our life. So we're not doing our will, but God's will. Holy is. Now here's the rule you can apply in your life to attain holiness and good conduct and character. So get your pens out and write this down. Here's the rule. If Jesus can't do it with you, you shouldn't do it without him. Write that down. If Jesus can't do it with you, you shouldn't do it without him. And we don't need a bunch of ethicists to explain that principle. It works. Okay? If Jesus can't be part of it, here's the corollary. If Jesus can't be part of it, you should have no part of it in your life. Now, that'll work for everything. And you don't have to worry about being a legalist. That works. If you follow the Lamb, then what you do will be something you are pleased with in his presence. You will be pleasing the Lord.
We'll continue with today's Reaching Your Heart and Pastor Michael Oxentenko in just a moment, so please stay tuned. If you'd like to attend the worship service, I will have details on how you can do that here at the close of our broadcast today. You can always attend online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. Many archived messages are available there for you, and you can attend a live service in a streaming format at that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Let's continue now with Pastor Michael Oxentenko in today's Reaching Your Heart.
Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, when you look at this list, it's very clear. The very first word in verse 18, the list, is what? Fearful. Why would that be the first thing? Do you realize that no virtue is possible in your life without one virtue always being there? It takes courage to do everything else right in your life. So God is in the business of giving us courage. The word dialos in Greek can mean timidity, cowardness, a failure to do the right thing. Friends, when we come to the cross, God gives us courage to obey. Joshua 1:9, God told Joshua, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is what? With thee, wheresoever you goest. If God is with you, who can be against you? Be strong and of good courage. And with that courage and faith in Christ, obey. Vital character quality number 7. Second coming saints are faithful saints. Revelation 1:5, Jesus is called the faithful and true witness, the true martyr. He died for our sins. He was faithful unto death. And so God's people will not betray Jesus at the time of the end. They will be faithful unto death if necessary. Revelation 7:14, they, the nations, will make war on the Lamb. The Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him are called, what does it say? And chosen and faithful. Vital character quality number 8, second coming saints endure to the end. The number 8 in the Bible is the number in the Bible representing a new creation. The numerical value of Jesus' name is 888. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the creation of God, the true witness, he says, 888. Jesus is the new creation you need in your life and I need. You can't start over without Jesus. You can with him. And the new creation realized in the kingdom of God will only be because of Jesus. Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Doesn't say might be saved. See, if you don't quit on God, God won't quit on you. It's that fact. I don't care how troubled your life is, how messed up it is. God will not give up on you if you don't give up on him. He will validate you. He'll carry you through to the end. He'll take every imperfection and sin and struggle you have in your life, and he'll deal with it and get you right on the outside of things. Revelation 14:12, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You see, when you use the mustard seed of your faith, it lays hold of the mountain of God's faithfulness in Jesus. And the faith of Jesus gets you through the difficulties of life. The Christian endurers will prove in the end that he or she is a Christian because he or she did not give up their faith in Jesus. So let's review the 8 vital character qualities of second coming saints together. Number one, vital character quality number one, second coming saints follow the Lamb. Number two, second coming saints obey the Lamb. Number three, what does it say? Second coming saints are kingdom builders. Number four, second coming saints are eager beavers for service. Five, second coming saints what? Share and care. Six, second coming saints are a pure people. And second coming saints, number seven, are faithful. And number eight, second coming saints, what does it say? Endure to the end. About 13 Christians die every day because they are a Christian. Did you know that? That is about 400 a month who die for Jesus Christ as martyrs in our time today. Last year, 4,761 Christians died for Christ in our time, according to opendoorusa.org that keeps track of those numbers. I'd like to end by sharing with you an excerpt of writing from a young African man who was martyred for Jesus Christ, probably Islamic extremists who were doing this. But he gave his life for Jesus Christ to be true to the word, the gospel. These words were found in his room shortly after he died for Christ in Africa. In his little diary, it was found. He wrote this before he gave his life for Jesus. And here it is. He wrote, "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till he stops me, and when he comes for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will have been clear." He wrote that and he went out to die for Jesus Christ. We've been given the privilege to live for Jesus Christ. May those words be our words. This is the calling that is high, the noble calling for all second coming saints who endure to the end, no matter what the cost in their life, who follow the Lamb. That's the calling right there. Dear heart, for Jesus' sake and for God's glory, let God's love and grace work in your life. Bring your life to Christ. Don't fool around with it. And then fight the good fight of faith and endure because he's with you. And by faith, not by your own power, but by faith, seize the prize that is the Lamb. Dear Heavenly Father, there's not a single one of us here who's worthy of eternal life. We're all sinners in this place by action and by nature. And yet, because Jesus loves me, this I know, and you do too. By having faith in you and choosing to be baptized, which means we do, we're saints, second coming saints, with issues and challenges where we have to grow. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us good advice here and the power to do these things and to not give up on us when we let you down, because we have. Lord, we need that mercy on the way to get there. If we don't have mercy, we'll never make it. So help us to remember, first and foremost, you're God of mercy. Now, Father, I feel that there's probably someone here who may not have accepted Christ as we're praying. They don't want to be pointed out. No one's looking. It's important to tell you. Just raise your hand and say, "Lord, I need you. I accept you right now. I need you. Come into my life." And Lord, you saw the hands go up. You know who they are. Maybe that person feels in their heart that they need to be baptized one of these days, soon. So their faith in Christ will be affirmed before you and others. And they can start the full journey of second coming saints. Lord, help them to come to me or any of the elders of the church so we can know and help them. Now, Lord, keep your people. Thank you, you're in the saving business, not the condemning business. And that we're not here to be a part of the wrong kind of attitude either. We want to follow you. So encourage your people, get them home to glory, and save them all. Why? In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
That will conclude Second Coming Saints. Today's Reaching Your Heart with Pastor Michael Oxentenko. Thanks for joining us today.
We would really love it if you would join us for our worship service. It's held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., either online or in person. If you would like to join us in person,
that address is 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. Or if you're more comfortable, you're certainly welcome to watch online at reachinghearts.org/video. reachinghearts.org/video. The live broadcast will be streaming and available for you on that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Thanks for listening, and we do pray that God is reaching your heart.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.